Hello and welcome to episode 11 of series 5 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. An approach to employee engagement that I'm really enthusiastic about is the use of employees as volunteers and encouraging our employees to get involved in activities that link to our organization's purpose and values and mission. Finding examples of good volunteer programs is never easy. There are lots of them out there, but ones that are really well resourced, really well supported within the organization are more difficult to find. Now, for this episode, our covering off the idea of engaging our volunteers and engaging employees and getting them involved in volunteers, we went back to a guest who we involved in the show a couple of years ago. Now, when we interviewed our guest previously, we were still in the pandemic, and a lot of the volunteering activities that she was involved with and that their company had been involved with since before the pandemic had been somewhat stymied and made more difficult by the constraints of social distancing and limited movement, and a lot of their things had gone online. So we're coming back to that same organization and that same guest to tell us how things have changed in the 2 years since the end of the pandemic or in the preceding period since we last spoke. And she's going to be telling us how there's been a shift back to face-to-face volunteering, which is obvious because people are able to do that now, but also the massive uplift that they've seen in the number of employees who want to get involved in volunteering activities, which is actually exceeding the numbers that they had before the pandemic. So overall, what we're seeing and what our guest is seeing is a huge enthusiasm for volunteering, which is supported, as I said, internally by a high degree of stakeholder enthusiasm and support as well. So it's a really good model for volunteering programs. Now, the organization that our guest works for is very well resourced. It's a successful big company. But what I want you to think about while you're listening to this interview is to also think about how you can scale your volunteering activities, if that's what you're thinking of doing, but also how you can also probably benefit in the same way and get the same value from a volunteering program that our guest talks about and that they attribute to the work of their employee volunteers. My guest today is Melissa Hackmeyer. Melissa is Global Head of Employee and Community Engagement, Sustainability and Social Business Innovation at the life science business Merck, which operates as Millipore Sigma in the US and Canada. Melissa is a corporate responsibility professional with a proven ability to effectively develop relationships and communicate with key constituents. Melissa also serves on the Advisory Council of Net Impact Boston. Now, this is Melissa's second appearance on the show. She first appeared in episode 2 of series 3, and we'll put a link back to that into the show notes. So anyway, hello, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you back on the show. And it's always great to be able to re-interview guests and find out how things have changed for them, particularly because the last time we spoke was in February 2022, where we were just kind of emerging from that post-pandemic upheaval that we'd just been through and we're still going through to a certain extent. So it'd be good to catch up with you. So anyway, for those of our listeners who didn't hear the first interview, whereabouts are you based, please, Melissa?
Yeah, so I'm based in Boston, Massachusetts, and work out of our Burlington, Massachusetts facility in the U.S.
Excellent. And I mentioned there in the introduction your job title, which I think must be one of the longest job titles that I've ever read out on the podcast, but it's a fantastic range of things that you're involved with. Do you want to just kind of summarize what that involves on a kind of day-to-day basis? It sounds like your days are probably very, very diverse and varied by the looks of things.
Yeah, of course. So as you mentioned, I lead employee and community engagement globally for the life science business of Merck. And that really falls into 3 buckets. So it includes our philanthropic investments with our nonprofit partnerships that we have globally that focus on science education and global access to science, our Spark Global Employee Volunteer Program, as well as our science education programs, which include our Curiosity Labs and Curiosity Cube.
Mm. Excellent. And we talked about those quite a lot in the first interview, but maybe just if we can just kind of bullet point some of the features of those three programs that you're involved in, Melissa, if that's okay, just for the listeners. So obviously we encourage them to go back and listen to your first interview, but if we can just maybe outline what they are just briefly, if that's okay.
Sure, of course. Yeah. So our Spark Global Employee Volunteer Program, which we launched in 2016, is really focused on uniting our employees around the world in our commitment to giving back to their own local communities. And so through Spark, we're leveraging the diverse talents and expertise of our employees. And we do this primarily through skills-based volunteer opportunities focused on science education. And so that's really where our science education programs come in. So they are aimed at increasing access to science education for 8 to 13-year-old students. And we focus particularly on those students that are underrepresented populations in science, so including people of color and women. And so we have our Curiosity Labs program, which is our flagship program, and that focuses on educating and inspiring students through hands-on interactive science lessons led by our employee volunteers.
Okay, so, excellent.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's right. So that's fine. Yeah, that's great. So, and I remember from the last time we spoke, it sounds like an amazing program. So sorry, I interrupted you. Let you carry on.
So with our Curiosity Labs program, we have developed science lessons in partnership with Washington University in St. Louis. And they focus on a variety of subjects and lesson topics that in one way or another align to our business. Mm. And we also tap our various subject matter experts at our company to weigh in and provide information and suggestions for the lessons as well. And so we then train our employees on the lessons and they go into classrooms and teach the lessons. Mm. They're all focused on hands-on, interactive experiments and opportunities in order to really, again, provide that access to the students for hands-on science learning. Uh-huh. And then we have our Curiosity Cube, which complements our Curiosity Labs program. It was launched in 2017 in the US and Canada and expanded to Europe in 2022. And it's a retrofitted shipping container turned mobile science lab that travels around to schools and public events such as science festivals near where we have sites. They feature hands-on experiments tied to a different theme each year and are staffed as well by our employee volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. No, and yeah, again, it just reminds me of what a great set of programs they are, Melissa. And obviously, that it's clear that volunteering for you and your company and that engagement with your community is really important. And again, I think we covered this on the first interview. It's maybe just worth reiterating. Why is it that the company values this so much? And obviously, see such kind of worth in it. What are some of the business case reasons for that, if we want to put it in those terms, Melissa?
Yeah, so clearly volunteering is a key piece of our employee and community engagement strategy. And we know through research that there are many proven benefits of volunteering for employees that ranges from providing the opportunity for them to leverage existing skills and gain new skills. So really focusing on professional development opportunities for employees. Mm-hmm. It offers opportunities for them to meet new colleagues and expand their network, interacting with coworkers that they wouldn't necessarily otherwise interact with in their day-to-day job. We often see volunteering leverage within the company as team building opportunities. So as a way to really strengthen team bonds. And then there are various health benefits that come with that, too, in terms of reducing stress by encouraging physical and mental activity. And lastly, I would say it really provides employees with a sense of accomplishment and pride for the work that they're doing in the community, but also working for a company that supports that. Mm-hmm. And we do offer 16 hours of paid time off for volunteering for all of our permanent employees across the company. And so that's a really great benefit that we like to see employees take advantage of.
Mm-hmm. And that 16 hours that employees can take off to do volunteering, does that have to be in like 8-hour blocks, or could that be in 2-hour blocks? Is that flexible how they use that time?
Yeah, great question. It's completely flexible. So they can take it, you know, in the 8-hour blocks that you mentioned, or, you know, 1 hour throughout 16 different days. We have a volunteer portal where we house all of our volunteer opportunities. And through that, they accumulate those hours of paid time off and also facilitate approval with their manager.
And can employees do like volunteering outside of those three programs that you mentioned? Can they kind of, if they've got something they're involved in that they're really passionate about, it doesn't necessarily fit in with that, can they do that? Or do they have to kind of follow the company volunteering programs?
No, absolutely. So we understand that not everyone wants to volunteer in that way with science education. Some people might not feel comfortable or be interested in interacting with kids. So we also offer civic opportunities. We hold at a variety of sites meal packing events. A lot of sites will organize beach cleanups or highway cleanups and so forth as just a few examples. But then we also have the opportunity for employees to volunteer individually too. So if they have a cause that they care about and are passionate about, they can volunteer and they can record their volunteer hours through our volunteer portal as well in that way.
That's nice. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So when we last spoke, back in 2022, we were in the, certainly maybe not in the depths of the pandemic, but certainly, you know, in that kind of, the bow wave that followed it. What's happened since then? Because I know when we last spoke, you were quite constrained with what you can do. You're having to do a lot of virtual things. Obviously, face-to-face was very difficult. Maybe if we can maybe think back to how things have changed, I guess you're able to do a lot more face-to-face. And has that kind of changed the way that people can, are people more willing to volunteer because it's kind of more natural, it's more organic because we can go out and meet people and go to places? Or has that been something that you've noted?
Yeah. So during the pandemic, we did offer a variety of virtual volunteer options because we weren't able to go out in person, but we didn't have a high level of engagement from employees for a variety of reasons. You know, people had a lot going on personally during the pandemic, but we also found with virtual volunteering, you know, it is largely independent. And so people were really missing the connection of volunteering as a group with other colleagues and actually being out physically in the community. And so in May 2022, we were able to return back to in-person volunteering. We were finally able to resume our Curiosity Labs and Curiosity Cube program, get the cube out on the road, as well as go into classrooms with Curiosity Labs. And so I would say the return to in-person volunteering was slow initially, but employees were so excited to be able to get back to being out in person in their communities and volunteering at events with each other. And then at the same time, when we returned back to in-person volunteering, we also launched the expansion of the Curiosity Cube program into Europe, and we were able to bring it to multiple countries. And so that really drove increased employee engagement in that region in particular. And so, you know, kind of reflecting back to where we are today and where we were then, I really view the second half of 2022 as our return to the foundational pieces of our volunteer program. Whereas in 2023, it was our first full year back to in-person, and we really took a targeted approach to our programming to build on that foundation that we reestablished in 2022. And so we were able to really focus on increasing volunteer engagement. You know, there are a couple different ways that we went about that. And I'm happy to go into detail on that if that's of interest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that, Melissa, please.
Yeah, so I would say one piece was really increasing communications and awareness about the program through informational sessions on Spark to employees at sites, in department and team meetings, to really educate them on what Spark is and more specifically how they can get involved. One thing we realized was, you know, the pandemic obviously was a few years long, and there were a lot of new employees that joined the company during that time, and they didn't know anything about Spark because we weren't really able to do a lot. And so really to reestablish the program with existing employees and then also educate new employees. And then another piece was reinvigorating our Spark teams at our sites around the world. So We have what we call Spark teams. They're voluntary teams of employees who are passionate about volunteering and giving back. And they, you know, raise their hand to be responsible for planning and organizing events in their local communities. And, you know, just naturally over time, those teams, you know, shift and change based on employees. And so we really were focused and targeted in terms of our larger sites and reinvigorating those Spark teams, getting new employees on board, and so forth to really drive engagement. And then the final piece is we launched an awards and recognition framework last year. And that really was to recognize individuals and Spark teams on a quarterly and annual basis who are going above and beyond with respect to Spark and volunteering. So identifying those individuals and teams that are developing and leading new volunteer initiatives, coming up with creative ways to spark curiosity in students, and consistently recruiting new employee volunteers from their site to get involved.
Okay, excellent. And I guess you said there was a more of a reluctance during the pandemic for people to volunteer. What are the kind of numbers look like? I say before the pandemic, what sort of percentage of employees were you getting involved? How did that drop off during the pandemic? And what sort of numbers are you starting to see now? If you have that information to hand, or whether it's more kind of intuitive.
Yeah, I mean, so like I said, during the pandemic, our numbers dropped quite significantly, just given the environment and some of the reasons that I had talked about earlier. But looking back at our 2023 numbers, we actually saw levels of engagement in our program overall that we hadn't seen since the program's inception in 2016.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, just to give an example, in 2023, we had more than 3,000 employees volunteering nearly 22,000 hours just in that year alone across 22 countries. And so, you know, when we look at the program as a whole, since 2016, we've had employees volunteer nearly 135,000 volunteer hours across 3,800 events in 46 countries.
Yeah.
So the numbers are pretty incredible. And, you know, we're very excited and hopeful that they're just going to continue to increase in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more than bounced back. It's bounced forward. It's, you know, your numbers are higher than you were before the pandemic. So it's not just a kind of back to where you were. You've actually increased by the sounds of it as well.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, are you attributing any of that increased interest in the fact that, you know, the pandemic maybe kind of help people appreciate the importance of community and looking after each other and a bit more kindness, I guess. Do you attribute anything to that, or do you just see it as another element that's sort of driven that phenomenon of more people wanting to be part of this? What are your thoughts on that, Melissa?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I definitely think that is a part of it. I also think that with the hybrid environment right now, you know, people aren't in the office as much or as regular as they used to be. And so they're really missing that connection to colleagues. And like I said, a lot of people who have joined the company in the past few years, they actually don't know a lot of colleagues because they haven't been in the office on a regular basis since being at the company. And so this really provides an opportunity for them to meet and interact and engage with colleagues in a new and different way.
Yeah.
Than, you know, they had previously been able to do. So I think that's a key driver. And, you know, one interesting quick story that I think kind of drives it home is that I ran into a colleague in the office a couple months ago, and he's always been a huge fan of the Curiosity Labs and Curiosity Cube. And he was visiting our site in Indianapolis, which is a fairly new site due to an acquisition. And the Cube happened to be visiting while he was there. And he said, you know, I always knew that the Curiosity Cube had such a great impact on the communities and the students it reaches, but I didn't realize until I was at this event how much the program like the Curiosity Cube is bringing employees together and engaging employees. And it was sort of an aha moment for him in terms of, you know, the impact that it has internally within our company and our employee base, just, you know, getting out in the community and volunteering.
Fantastic. I mean, we've talked a little bit there about the uplift in numbers. I mean, have you seen an increase in the diversity of people being involved in volunteering as well? So, you know, however you define diversity, whether that's, you know, kind of gender, ethnicity, et cetera, or whether that's also, you know, kind of in terms of hierarchical diversity, you know, senior people, frontline people. What are your reflections on the way it's diverse, the diversity shifted as well?
Yeah, that's something that's really important and a huge focus for us, particularly when we are looking at our science education programs and, you know, inspiring the next generation of scientists. We want to show them that scientists who look like them are in these roles, and it's possible for them to, these students, to see themselves in these potential science careers. And so we are very intentional in terms of making sure that our diverse workforce is showcasing that diversity out into the community. And we're seeing employee engagement at all levels of the organization across, you know, the multiple sites and countries where we operate. And actually, in fact, in 2023, we had the majority of our senior executive team participate in either a Curiosity Labs or a Curiosity Cube event. And that really goes a long way to not just show the buy-in that they support the program, but that they're actually participating, and you know, that any employee can participate as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've probably covered this, but I mean, in terms of what you're able to do now that, you know, now your hands aren't tied by the constraints of the pandemic, I think you've covered a lot of those things. Are there any other things that you've been able to do now things are, you know, we're able to go back to normality, and maybe any other innovations that have, I guess, come out of the pandemic? Because, you know, I guess people are more generally a bit more tech savvy and able to use remote devices a little bit more and comfortable with has the pandemic paradoxically thrown up any opportunities as well as, you know, the fact that the restraints that were associated with it have now gone? What are some of the other innovations that you've been able to bring in since the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we're always looking to grow and evolve and innovate our programs in different ways. You know, one of the things that we have in the works is around bringing the Curiosity Cube to a virtual environment. So, you know, with the physical cube, we're obviously constrained by, you know, the number of places we're able to physically bring it. Yeah. And so we're always thinking about ways that we can further our programming in order to reach as many students as possible. Again, you know, it's really about providing that access. And so we know that, you know, the physical cube, for example, can only go to so many places. And so how do we think about expanding that to bring those lessons and those opportunities to other students who might not be in those areas?
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, in terms of this may be a difficult question to answer, but I know you obviously attribute a lot of benefits in terms of employee engagement attributable to the volunteering initiatives that you've talked about. Are you able to sort of correlate any changes in employee engagement as a result of, you know, what you, again, that uplift in volunteering? Or I know it's always a dangerous thing to make these, you know, kind of extrapolate, employee engagement has changed because of X, Y, or Z. And it's normally there's more complex and interrelated things than that. But are you mapping, you know, some of the business benefits of volunteering other than just obviously the number of people who are being involved in volunteering? Is there any kind of correlation there that you've drawn from the kind of liberating of or removal of restrictions?
Yeah, that's a great question and always something that is difficult to measure because it's focused on the intangible benefits, right? Mm. But we do survey our employee volunteers to get feedback on their attitudes towards volunteering and employee engagement, as well as just general feedback on the programming so we can look for ways to iterate and improve. And then, you know, we always hear anecdotal stories from employees that say, you know, this was the best day I've had since I've worked at the company, or I'm so proud to work for a company that allows me the opportunity to volunteer. And, you know, so I would say it's a work in progress in terms of being able to really quantitatively map the employee engagement back to the business benefits.
Yeah.
Something we're always focused on.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where you have to, you know, yes, by all means look for metrics, but also don't underestimate the fact that, you know, the feeling of this is something good to do. And, you know, it feels like the right thing to do, which often, you know, intuitively, it's very difficult to see any kind of negative aspects to a program like that. So I think, sometimes you just got to, you know, it's the right thing to do and you've got to support it. And any metrics on top of that is a bonus. You talked a little bit about your European tour with the Cube. So tell our listeners a little bit about where your plans are then around where is the Cube visiting, and just in case it might coincide with anyone who might be able to engage with it directly or get their kids to engage with it directly. What's the tour plan?
Yeah, so great question. So we are currently finalizing the tour for 2024. We are going to be launching towards the end of April, early May, and running through October.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, we go to a variety of countries throughout Europe, including Germany, France, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Italy, Spain, the UK, Ireland, Czech Republic. I'm sure I'm missing a few countries in there, but we're aiming for 12 or 13 this year.
Yeah.
And the full tour schedule, once it's finalized, will be up on our website, thecuriositycube.com. And so, you know, people are more than welcome to go there. And like I said, we go to schools, but we also go to public events as well that is clearly open to anyone to come and visit, and would encourage any and all to come check it out.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that link. I've got a bunch of links that we're going to put into the show notes. So I'll put the link into the Curiosity Cube there. And that'll coincide nicely. No, that sounds fantastic. And it'll be local volunteers who'll be staffing those local events. Yeah. So you're going to have a kind of crew that, or is it a mixture of both that go around with the Cube?
So we have a Europe Curiosity Cube team that's part of my team. So three employees. So they go around and they are managing the Cube and the events and all the logistics that go along with that. But the volunteers are local employees from our Merck sites.
Right.
And so, you know, when we're in the UK, it's our UK employees that are out there volunteering.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent. That sounds really fascinating. So I guess just moving on to the sort of penultimate question, and this is a bit of an open one, but you've kind of again alluded to some of these things, but I'm thinking maybe more from a kind of personal level for you, Melissa. You know, the last 2 to 3 years have been difficult, but also we've all learned a lot, I think. I mean, what are some of the key things that you've kind of reflected on and taken away from that sort of 2 to 3 years that we've just been to since we last spoke, and that will, you know, kind of serve you well sort of going forward in terms of the experience it's given you? What are some of your key takeouts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, just in reflecting on this question, I would say it's key lessons, but also, you know, advice for those that are looking to or involved in a volunteer program in any way. You know, I think one piece is finding and empowering those employees who are passionate and want to go above and beyond to give back and volunteer. They're really going to be your fiercest advocates in driving the engagement throughout your organization. It's not something that any one person can do alone. And so, you know, really finding those employees that can help you along the way is integral. I think the second piece is employees want to be recognized and celebrated, whether it's in communications through an internal article or with a piece of company branded swag. You know, they take pride in their commitment to giving back and really do appreciate the acknowledgement of that. And then I think, you know, the final piece is, you know, it's a journey. Whether you're reestablishing programs after a pandemic or starting a new program from scratch, it takes time and doesn't happen overnight. And it's something that you really just need to be flexible and adapt with. And it's important just to celebrate the big and small milestones along the way.
I mean, I just, you know, I remember it's brought all the kind of thoughts I had the first time we spoke around this program back to me. And, you know, for me, it's that whole piece for employees in particular, that they want to feel part of something that's just, you know, bigger than just their own tasks and their job description. And I think, you know, programs like this, like you've already mentioned it, it kind of helps me realize I'm part of a great business that's doing, you know, good, trying to do good things and doing good things, and that we're kind of unified in that whole team building piece. I think is really important. I've facilitated things for clients in the past that has involved, you know, we don't want to just go and, you know, kind of build bridges or climb, you know, kind of high ropes sort of things. And we don't want to just sort of sit in a classroom kind of, you know, kind of doing some kind of psychometric tests and then playing around with them. We want to kind of do something that actually we can go away and look ourselves at the end of the day and say, we've actually helped, you know, we've done something good. We've helped people. We've maybe created a spark in a young person's mind and given them an opportunity they didn't know they had. And, you know, and it's that, I think that piece is fantastic for a program like this. And, you know, I think, you know, other organizations should think creatively about how they can do something similar. Obviously not the same, because you've got a unique set of characteristics and resources in your business that allow you to do this, but the you know, you being creative, you can come up with something that maybe isn't as you know, the kind of the resources you got are phenomenal, but even in with less resources, I think organizations can do something, get a similar outcome that you get. And I think it's fantastic what you're doing, so I really appreciate you sharing that with us again, Melissa. Anything just before we sign off, just from you, I'll quickly run through some of the links that we'll put into the show notes before we close out, but any final comments from you, Melissa?
Nothing except, you know, we hope to see you out at the Curiosity Cube when it visits the UK this year.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to put in my diary. I'm going to put a link in my diary to check in a couple of weeks. When do you think that schedule will be ready for the European part of it?
Hopefully in the next few weeks.
Okay. I'll put something in my diary. I'm actually on holiday at the end of the month, so I'll put something to check at the beginning of probably, if, you know, 3 or 4 weeks time, and then I'll be certainly looking to see if there's anything I can, if it's coming nearby, or if I can maneuver a trip somewhere with our teams, with our employees, to kind of maybe replicate this in some way and deliver some of those amazing engagement and purpose-driven results that you're getting as an organization. So thank you again for your time, Melissa.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and take care. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you've got any ideas for episodes you'd like us to cover in future, you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can use the feedback form at engagingic.com. If you're not already subscribed to the show via your podcast platform, please do so. And if you could leave a review for us, that would be absolutely fantastic. We have links to other episodes at engagingic.com. All of our previous episodes are available there. And if you're interested in our visual communication services, our big pictures, our learning maps, our explainer videos, and also our live graphic recording, please get in touch with us again at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Thank you.